Want to say good morning. Welcome in. We're excited to have Tom Luganbill with us, National College Football Analyst with ESPN. And Mississippi State fans are going crazy. Jeff Lebby, the new head football coach at MSU, was the Oklahoma offensive coordinator, Ole Miss, OC, and then prior to that with Heupel at Central Florida and Baylor forever. And he's had success. No head coaching experience, but Zach Selman decides, hey, he wants to go young, offense, excitement, somebody who's coached in this state and in the SEC, so understands all those dynamics and so on. So we welcome in Tom Luganbill on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. And this is the Out of Bounds Show, driven by your next Easy Go golf car at Ben Nelson Golf and Outdoors. Tom Luganbill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. Did you get to just kind of hang out and watch football on Saturday?
I did, actually. I made it a point to take a relatively early flight back from Austin so that I could get home and actually sit back and watch all the action. I mean, think about how close we were to Armageddon, man.
I know. Yeah, that Bama-Auburn game was crazy. But I don't know how much you got to see, but man, Ohio State-Michigan was a treat. It was just a hell of a football game, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I saw the entire thing. I kind of got the sense, I don't know how you felt, but I get a little bit of a sense that Ryan Day really played into the hands of Michigan defensively, because I think he's so hell-bent on proving how tough they are that by trying to, play it conservative, play in a phone booth, have it be a point of attack game, I think that kind of took away from Ohio State's strengths. I mean, I look at Ohio State and I say, okay, well, where's their greatest asset? Well, it's all of the perimeter skill. It's the running back. Let's spread everybody really super thin, get everybody way out wide, force Michigan into space, get your playmakers versus theirs, and see what happens. And I just think sometimes he got in his own way throughout that game a little bit.
I agree. And it was you felt like keep throwing the football. Guys were – when they did,
yeah.
Guys were, of course, Harrison Jr., but guys were open. And I think you made a good point there that he kind of played into Michigan's strength. And, man, three in a row by Michigan and Harbaugh-less. What an incredible story there for the Wolverines. All right, we got to talk Jeff Lebby. He's sure. The new coach at Mississippi State. You know him. What can you tell us about him? You know, you've been around him personality-wise as far as Jeff Lebby.
Sure. Oh, you'll like his personality. He's kind of a cross between, well, he was an offensive lineman, but he's got like an offensive lineman feel, but also a cool guy feel at the same time. Very personable. I don't think he's a man of many words, but he's very to the point. He's very direct. I do believe he kind of says what he's thinking. And, now I think, you and I have talked about this for several weeks now, where you just feel like there's a certain level of importance with the Mississippi State program that you got to have a little bit of uniqueness offensively, right? You got to have maybe a brash, aggressive, wide open, up-tempo approach. And the offense that he's coached, the ones he's designed, obviously he and Josh Heupel and Kendall Briles and that whole entire network of coaches go way, way back. But everywhere he's coached offensive football, they've been really, really good. And I think that was attractive to Mississippi State.
There's risk in every hire, right? Regardless of really who you are. Look what A&M went through over the weekend. And so Zach Selman, who's 37 years old, all about his family. He's grown up in this. He decides to bypass head coaching experience for what you just described. Offense,
right?
Scoring points, youth, energy, enthusiasm. So now what's happened in Starkville is you've got this youth movement with Zach Selman, who's 37, and Jeff Lebby, who's 39. Is that how you see it? What Selman was thinking? Youth, offense, enthusiasm, get the fan base going, and just try to go score a bunch of points?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think, you know, because obviously he's familiar with him, with the Oklahoma connection, I think he feels like he's a very detail-oriented guy that will work tirelessly in recruiting, that will build a plan of attack and a blueprint for how to get from point A to point B to point C. He's worked for, you know, Brent Venables is about as detail-oriented as you can possibly become. So there will be a discipline that will be inherent there, I think, with Jeff Lebby. And then, like I said, a scheme that is tried and true. And let's not forget this. It's a scheme that will attract offensive personnel. Quarterbacks will want to play in that scheme, just like they want to play for Lane Kiffin in that scheme at Ole Miss. It is extremely quarterback-friendly. You're going to be able to throw it all over the lot. They want to run it, but you're going to be able to, so much of it is RPO-based and spreading people thin horizontally, you know, screens and check downs and all the different things that you want to be able to do, but it will be attractive in recruiting as well.
You just hit on something. Tom Luganville with ESPN. You said detail-oriented, and I could not agree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a piece of the puzzle that's boring to fans, but is so, so important. And I had a friend who has hired people at a very high level, and he said something to me, Tom Luganville, several years ago, and he said, man, I'm not an athletic director, but if I was, I'd go look at my candidate's car. I'd go look in their car because I want, and he said, I'd love to go look in their closet at home because I want someone who, when I get in their car, there's not a piece of lint in there. He said, that's how I believe right. You have to run this thing. That you have to be unbelievably detail-oriented. I think there are a few that can get away with it not being Luges, but they hire people around them that take care of it. But that's not many. So I think you hit on something. I'll tell you this story real quick, Tom. One night, this is just several years ago, obviously, I see Dan Mullen at a steakhouse, and we end up talking, and I'm having a beverage and so on, and we're both staying at the same hotel. And he's like, hey, I'll drive you back. I'm like, great. It's like, you know, a half a mile down the road. We get in his car. There's not one speck of dust in his car, Tom. And I thought about that, what that guy told me when I was in his car. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, I think it's even more important, too, when you haven't been a head coach, right? Because your biggest adjustment, and you talk to guys who become first-year head coaches, and you talk about them going from year one to year two, almost all of them to a man will tell you it's all about the things that you have to now do, that you are now accountable and responsible for, that have nothing to do with actually coaching the football team, right? Whether it's speaking engagements, meetings, administration, player personnel, recruiting, like you're no longer just in charge of one area of the team, one area of recruitment. You are having to oversee all of it. And there's so much stuff that if you don't have the details set, if you don't have the I's dotted and the T's crossed, you're not going to have a functioning, streamlined organization. And I think, you know, guys that have been long-time head coaches would probably always tell you that if they went back and looked at themselves when they first got the job, that would be the biggest adjustment.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at a place like a Mississippi State, and really a top tier level, whether it's middle to upper tier, SEC caliber program, you're going to have resources in place, whether it's manpower, whether it's staffing, to be able to have the help you need to continue to have those organizational skills where you're not undermanned, understaffed, and now you've got so much on your plate you can't function. So you're going to have the help. I think that's really, really important in all of this, too.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I used before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to zbiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers. We're talking Jeff Lebby, the new head football coach at Mississippi State with Tom Luganbill. What kind of a recruiter do you think he is, Lukes?
Well, I think he'll recruit hard. I don't think there's any question about that. He knows, you know, if you look, and he's been at a few different levels too. So he's been at the Group of Five level, very successful with that caliber of player. And then he's been at Ole Miss. He's now been at Oklahoma. He's been at Oklahoma in two different iterations, a team that a year ago was not overly talented and a team this year that was significantly more talented. So he knows probably as well as anybody, especially a guy who's becoming a first-time head coach, how critical personnel is. And I think being in the SEC, he also knows how competitive the landscape's going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't tackle that head-on, it doesn't matter what you know X's and O's-wise, you're not going to be successful. So that's got to be priority number one. I think right now his number one priority is who is his strength and conditioning coach and who is going to be his director of player personnel or general manager or, you know, director of recruiting. They got to get that person in place ASAP.
Yeah, Lane has nailed both of those positions. And so have some other coaches. But I agree with you. They did not look like a Power 5 team to me physically this year. I don't know what happened in the offseason. But I remember eyeballing them from the get-go thinking, what in the world happened? And talk about how important that role, you know, we talk about it all the time. They're the strength conditioning coach and the whatever, three or four guys under them are with them all the time. But you're inside buildings all the time. Just how valuable is that person in that position, Lukes?
The strength and conditioning position?
Yes.
I think it's absolutely pivotal. It's critical because especially when you're in a transition period, you're going to have guys fight it. You're going to have guys buck the system. You're going to have guys fight the buy-in. That coach is going to be the one, he's the conduit that reveals to the coaching staff who's in, who's out, who's tough, who's a worker, who's not a worker. And that's how you start to weed through everything. And every single morning, every single afternoon, every single evening, those guys and the staff are around those kids. And they are the ones that are going to reveal to the coaching staff more so than anybody else. And the athletic training staff can be involved in this as well. Because you got to figure out real quickly, what is the core foundation? What is the group and core foundation of guys that you could build the turnaround around? And I'm going to use Steve Sarkisian as an example here with Texas. I just had Texas in Texas Tech. It was senior night, Friday night in Austin. And there are a handful of guys that he inherited that have been like the core foundation of the ones that bought in from the previous regime and have been literally a pivotal person or persons that have helped Texas get to where they are right now. Safety Jahdae Barron, the one defensive lineman, Tavondre Sweat. When they first got Tavondre Sweat, he was a big talented guy, but he fought at every step of the way. And then he finally bought in. You get some of those guys that you didn't recruit that you inherited, and you take those first couple of off seasons and you start to make it hard, you're going to find out real quickly who the guys are you can count on. And that's why those people are so important.
Tom Luganbill with ESPN talking Jeff Lebby, the new head football coach at Mississippi State. Pairing a defensive coordinator with how many snaps he likes to play, what does that look like and how difficult is that for the DC to manage when you're running around? I was looking at it. He averages 81 snaps a game.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're a head coach, it doesn't matter. The coordinator is going to have to deal with what he's got to deal with. I think it's a little bit different when you are the coordinator and you're dealing with a defensive head coach like he had at Oklahoma, and then you kind of work through those things. But I think we're in the day and age now, Bo, where it's just universally accepted. If you're going to coach defense in college football, number one, you got to have a screw loose, because it is almost impossible to succeed. I mean, the strain that is put on you, even if you're not going fast because of the space and the RPO game and the dual threat quarterbacks, I mean, you're just constantly under assault. So I think you realize that, hey, this is the world we're living in. You hope that you can get enough people up front to create problems and disruption and affect the quarterback. And then at the end of the day, you're going to give up yards. The question is, do you give up yards and points in the red area? And can you get off the field a few times during the game?
Right. Like,
can you get off the field on third down? I mean, you even look at Texas, how good they are on defense. Number one rushing defense in the country. Number one third down defense in the country. They're still giving up yards. They're giving up yards, but they're giving it up from the 25 to the 25. And then they don't let you score. And they get off the field on third down. And so, you know, I think that, to me, if you're Jeff Levy, you got to find somebody that philosophically believes in what you believe in. And I don't mean believes in what he believes in offensively. What does the head coach believe in defensively?
Right.
Right? Like, if that's what you – that is what you've got to adjust to.
So let's go through this. His first 2 years, we're talking Jeff Levy with Tom Luganville, national college football analyst with ESPN. He joins us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. So Levy and Durkin were together for 2 years at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then he's been under Brent Venables. I mean, these are good defensive minds.
Sure.
All right. So he's been able to see that and how it works with him. And like you said, year one was not good to either one of them at Oklahoma. But, man, if they turned it around this year, would you – Venables, isn't he a recruiting maniac? Luke's.
Oh, yeah, big time. And that's probably the best thing to have happened to Jeff Levy.
I agree.
Because he has seen it. And that's not to say that Lane's not a grinder in it. I'm not saying that at all. But I think the thing that has been a positive for Jeff Levy is Brent Venables came over from a program that was recruiting at the highest of high levels, had the resources to get it done, knew exactly who they were targeting and why, were able to beat and compete with a Georgia and an Alabama and an LSU, root Auburn, routinely in recruiting, right? So he's lived that. He's seen what that looks like. And now that you move back into the SEC, Jeff Levy has coached against these teams. He knows what the personnel is and what has to happen to compete. That ain't going to be a surprise for him.
Okay. Let's talk. All right, Tom Luganville, let's go Bama, Georgia. I can't wait this week. By the way, what is your schedule for the,
I am our group is off this weekend, which is great for me because I'm going to get to see my son actually play in the state semifinals.
Good for you.
On Friday night. Yeah, that rarely happens. And so he's a senior and it's a great opportunity. And then, this weekend, since we're off, my wife and I are going up to Stowe, Vermont, going to get a little skiing in and take a little break from football after the championship games.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Right, Georgia, Bama, lines 5. I can't wait. What is the matchup that you're looking for in this game?
I'm looking to see if Alabama can have success on first down so that they don't have to rely on throwing the football consistently to win the game. That's one thing. From the opposite side of the line of scrimmage, I think it really benefits Alabama that Georgia doesn't have a runner at quarterback. And that's a challenge for Georgia on defense this week. It's not as big of a challenge for Alabama. So, you know, I look at Jalen Milroe and I look at the success that he's been having. And I look at the improvement that he's had, but they've also gotten a lot better at running the football. I look at the game plan that Alabama had versus Kentucky, where it was run, play action, quarterback run, run, play action, quarterback run. And it was a really successful approach. I think it needs to be a similar approach versus Georgia.
You like Bama, don't you?
I kind of do, yes. I still think it's going to be a tall order. I'm not convinced they're the better team, but they've lived in that world for so long, Bo, that they kind of thrive in the environment, right? And listen, that's not to say Georgia doesn't. Georgia, of course, does, and has proven that time and time again. But I keep feeling like we haven't had the major upset. We haven't had the chaos. We almost had it in, what, 3 or 4 different games last weekend. Maybe we're due this weekend. I mean, you look at how important the Florida State-Louisville game is for Texas and Alabama fans and Georgia fans and anybody that needs Florida State to lose. Because there's a lot of – I think this is the first time in the college football playoff era we're going to have at least one, if not two teams not make the playoff that are more than capable of winning a national championship.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I do. Yeah, I like Bama in a close one. I do. And I like where you went with Milroe can run it when he needs to, and Carson Beck is just not a runner. And as much as we like to maybe give Stetson Bennett the fourth a hard time, that dude could scoot when he needed to and put pressure on. All right, one more. We got a minute here. Oregon-Washington rematch in Las Vegas. Who you taking, Lukes?
I'm taking Oregon because I think they're just flat out the better team. And I think that Dan Lanning will avoid being quite as aggressive as he was the first time around, particularly on fourth down. But they're just flat out better. I feel like Washington has kind of paralleled since that first outing, and Oregon has soared. And listen, would it surprise me if Washington were to win the game? Yeah, actually it would, because I think Oregon's that much better than they are right now.
Man, Oregon looks like they're built like an SEC team.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They're not quite as dominant up front defensively as I think Texas is, but they have a lot of that same makeup. Yes, I would agree.
Man, watching them play Oregon State, and I know Oregon State doesn't recruit near the way they do, and Jonathan Smith's a hell of a coach. But wow, Oregon, physical and fast, and Mario and Lanning have done a good job getting players out there. Real quick, Elko to A&M. You like it?
Yeah, I like it. I just chuckle and shake my head at the notion that if any of the Mark Stoops stuff was real and Texas A&M fans pushed back on it, are you out of your mind? Like, that would have been a great hire. If you could have pulled that off, that hire would have been phenomenal. I like the Mike Elko hire. I think the timing of it's perfect. He understands the landscape and the infrastructure. And we'll see how he tackles that thing. But I thought this weekend's turn of events, you know, if let's just say they are to be, you know, grounded in truth, just makes me shake my head as to further looking at Texas A&M and saying, what are you, no wonder you guys don't have it right.
Yeah. Look, I actually, they should have gone and gotten DeBoer from Washington, but that's a whole nother story. We don't have time.
That would have been a good one, too. That would have been a good one,
man, too. That dude can coach. Wow. Okay. Enjoy your weekend and Vermont. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, man. Appreciate it. Later.
Tom Luganbill with ESPN on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Lunch today brought to you by Fleetway Market and the Market Cafe in Gluckstadt. And, man, great food, blue plates, smoked meats. I went through there last week and got one of their chicken sandwiches for lunch.
Ooh.
It was delicious. So Fleetway Market, Market Cafe in Gluckstadt for lunch. We'll meet you there. Also, there's a new Fleetway Market open in Clinton. It's open 24 hours a day, which is super cool, too. I hope you have a good Monday. If you missed anything, hit Apple Podcasts or Spotify and search Out of Bounds with Bo Bounds. We'll see you tomorrow live from Starbucks.